السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we exited the month of Ramadan, and basically the days of celebration have come to an end as well. So we have returned back to normality, if I can use that word. There's a few advices that I would like to share in regards to exiting the month of Ramadan. Many brothers and many sisters, they express this sentiment after the month of Ramadan, that the month of Ramadan came, left, we fasted, we prayed in the night, we recited the Quran, we could have done much better. So this sentiment echoes in the Islamic world, in the Muslim world. And sometimes this sentiment, the emergence of this sentiment, is productive and positive. That a person tries to better himself when he arrives at another meritorious junction. But sometimes this statement in itself is demoralizing. So sometimes people say that I could have read more Quran, or the quality could have been better, or the fast that I gave to Allah Almighty was full of many, many deficiencies. So when this thought comes in the mind, one dimension is that the person starts to disregard the importance of his ibadat in the month of Ramadan. And he thinks that most probably I will not be rewarded. So we hear that if a person, he fasts properly and he establishes Qiyamul Layl, his past sins are forgiven. We hear that. Babur Rayyan, the door in Jannah for those people that used to fast. And there are so many multiple rewards and virtues pertaining to the month of Ramadan. But when a person looks at his fast, he doesn't feel too confident. He says, most probably I will miss out on all that reward because I could have done much better. So this dimension to this sentiment is destructive. Now I want to address that by the verse of the Quran. Now as we know that the Quran is divine, and each word of the Quran is basically addressing us. I recited the last section of verse 185, Surah Al-Baqarah. And basically from 183 onwards, in that entire section, Allah speaks about Siyam. So in verse 185, of course, it starts with Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, in which Allah says that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was sent down. And then Allah makes mention of certain rules, regulations. But at the end, Allah Almighty says something amazing that basically addresses the small presentation that I just gave a few moments ago. Allah says, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ. And وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ means that they may complete the number. So what Allah Almighty basically is saying is that if you complete the number 29 or 30 days, it will be accepted. If you complete the number, indeed, the 29 fast or the 30 fast, they are full of weaknesses. It is not a perfect presentation. But وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, if you have completed the number, Allah Almighty will accept. And this is not my tafsir. This is the tafsir of the Mufassirun. The Mufassirun of the past. So that's why Allah says, وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةِ, complete the number. Aapka kaam hai ginti puri karna. Your work is to complete the number, and our work is to fill it with virtue. وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهِ, and then those that magnify Allah Almighty. So basically, we see the new crescent and we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then we enter the Eidgah and we magnify Allah Almighty with the takbirat. Now basically the scholars, now this is the first message, so keep that in mind. Don't allow the weakness of your ibadat in the month of Ramadan demoralize you. Alhamdulillah, we completed the number and our Creator is the most generous. Sakhiyun ke sakhi. He's the most generous. And He will reward us in full, inshallah, for the efforts that we presented, even if the efforts are not befitting His majestic court. But inshallah, they will be accepted. The second message. We have exited the month of Ramadan, and then when we exited, we found ourselves at the Eidgah. And basically, it was a very large crowd. And we magnified Allah Almighty as it is the instruction of the Quran, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهِ تَكْبِيرَاتْ بَرُّ. Magnify Allah Almighty. So we magnified Allah Almighty. Now when we study the ahadith and mubarakah that give us an insight to what is happening, because there's an unseen creation that descends and surrounds that entire gathering and basically escorts the people that are walking to that gathering, we come to know that it is a mighty, mighty arena. It is a mighty, mighty moment where many things are unfolding in our favor. And we spoke about this in the last Jummah, Laylatul Ja'izah, and then coming to the Eidgah. One of the statements that Allah Almighty makes when people make it to the Eidgah is that your sayyi'at, your weaknesses and your sins have been replaced with good. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبَنَا السَّيِّئَاتِ. That it is the power of Allah Almighty, this is the decision of Allah. There is no other being that can treat anyone in this manner. It is only Allah Almighty that a person takes a package of bad and he returns back with good. Allah returns the favor because of His generosity, and all the bads are replaced with good. As it has been made mention that Tafsir Qurtubi, Imam Qurtubi, in Tafsir Qurtubi makes mention on the Day of Judgment, there will be a person, and he will have a very, very dark folder, or folders. So Allah Almighty will unfold one folder. Allah Almighty will unfold one folder, in which there are so many weaknesses, so many sins inscribed. And Allah Almighty will say, you did this, you did this, you did this. And He will acknowledge. But His mind will be focused upon the registers that have not been unfolded yet, that even have more darkness, more sins printed. So after the Hisab Kitab of the first folder, Allah will say, I give you the glad tidings that for each sin I give you one good deed. So immediately He will shout out and He will say, Ya Allah, what about the other folders? Khuliqal insanu ajula. The human being is haste. Immediately He will say, what about the other folders? Meaning that there's so many sins in those folders, replace them with good deeds as well. So Allah Almighty says that you are clean today at the Eidgah. You are clean. Allah has cleansed you. So your soul is clean and healthy and fresh. And a few moments before that announcement was made by the Creator and heard by all, with the exemption of insan and jinnat, we cleaned ourselves at home as well. We took a shower. If we didn't take a shower, we made wudu. So basically at the Eidgah, after receiving the glad tidings, we are externally and internally clean. And that is the maqsad of taking a shower in the morning on Eidgah. Before going to the Eidgah, you take a shower. So externally, that's what you can do. You have addressed the external impurity and you have become clean. From Hadith Asghar or Hadith Akbar. And after dispersing from the Eidgah, you are internally clean as well. So now you are an embodiment of purity and cleanliness. But I want to draw your attention to something rationally, logically. On Eid day or on Jummah day, we wear good clothes. Or let me use a better word. We wear wash clothes. And some people, they wear new clothes. Now, right now, the attire that I am wearing has no smudge. So basically, it is in a perfect condition. But let's say, I am drinking tea, and one drop of tea falls on this attire. It will be very, very visible. It will be very, very visible. So immediately what I will do is I will go and wash the mark of tea. But let's say I did not the first time and I kept drinking the tea and then I had, let's say, a biscuit, and as it's our style, we dip it into the tea. A lot of people don't do that, but we dip it into the tea and then we eat it, and then that biscuit falls on the attire as well. Now this is the second mark. The first mark of tea, the second mark of biscuit. Now, because of the first mark, I may say, don't worry about this mark. Because I've got one mark, now I've got another one, it doesn't matter. And the more I delay it, the less I will give importance to the cleaning of the marks. Does that make sense? I came up with this example. Does it make sense? The same thing with the soul. So the soul is clean. We return back from the Eidgah, the soul is clean. So when we place ourselves in a wrong place and we do something wrong, verbally, physically, mu'amalat wise, we do something wrong, there is one speck on the soul. And that is very disturbing. But if we let it go, that feeling the first time, oh, I shouldn't have done that, straight away we should try to address that issue in the best manner, in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, and basically taking the syrup of Tawbah and forgiveness. But if we don't, another speck, another mistake that is made will be printed on the soul. And each print on the soul will allow us to drift away from clean in that soul. So keep that in mind. It is starting already. It is starting already. So we exit the Eidgah and immediately what happens? We start to paint our soul with many, many black dots. And some people even do it at the Eidgah. So the Imam says, As-salamu alaykum rahmatullahi as-salamu alaykum rahmatullahi, and he makes the dua and the khutbah is read, and straight away people start to brush their soul with black dots. This is the time, the first week, the second week. I'll speak about this next week, but it is the first and the second week, the greatest hamla, the greatest attack from the devil. First and second week. It is the greatest attack. And I'll give you an example next week on this. So this is the time that we stay firm. And basically the scholars have said something amazing. Alim Yasab, the Pearl of Islam, he says that basically we have exited the small fast to the big fast. That's an amazing statement. We have exited the small fast to the big fast. So basically in the month of Ramadan, our whole focus is upon the stomach. That is only one fast. And the carnal desires. But now we have exited that theater, that arena, and we have arrived at the big fast, where we have to be fasting from the top to the bottom. If we want to consolidate, and if we want to really benefit from the small fast, we need to exercise that in the big fast. And that's why the small fast came. So we get a practice of how to establish the big fast, the major fast, from the top to the bottom, from side to side, during the day and during the night. Now I was in deep contemplation after Fajr today. Now I was thinking that if I give a message, I wanted something to be striking and something to be short. So there were two things that came to my mind in the light of the hadith. One for the men, one for the women. So how can we consolidate? How can we really start off the first and the second week after the month of Ramadan that basically is going to decide the direction of our life for the next year? What do we need to do? So there's one thing that I want the men to do, and there's one thing that the ladies have to do. One thing the men, one thing the ladies. Now basically the advice for the ladies can be shared by the men as well, because it is most important for them. But basically there's one weakness in the men that basically is not much of a weakness in the women. And there's one weakness in the women that basically is not much of a weakness in the men. Does it make sense? Once I tell you the weaknesses, you will understand. So if we go to Surah Nur, Surah number 24, verse number 30. And before I recite the verse, I would like you to depict a castle. Shai Qila. In Pakistan, Shai Qila. I haven't seen a castle here, but Shai Qila, the big castle. They've got a gate in the front. Massive gate. It's very hard to open that gate. It's very hard to open that gate. But once you enter through that gate, once you push it and it opens up, then there are many, many smaller doors in that castle. And there are many, many windows. And you don't really have to exert yourself to open those small doors and small windows, as you have to exert yourself to open the gate. Does it make sense? Alright. Now I'm going to focus upon the gate rather than the doors to the city of sin. To the city of sin. Ithm. So what is the gate for the men? And what is the gate for the ladies? So basically if we can control that and keep it locked, we will safeguard ourselves from so many doors and so many windows. Does it make sense now? Alright. So for the men, the advice that I give to the men. Surah Nur, Surah number 24, verse number 30. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Very simple. That, oh, believe in men, lower your gaze. So if we can take one thing from the month of Ramadan, and that is, I am going to fast my eye for the rest of my life. Let's make a mu'ahidah with Allah Almighty today in this Mubarak Majlis, that Ya Allah, my eye is going to fast. Now what is fasting? Certain things are allowed, certain things are not allowed. That's what fasting is. So there are certain things that are allowed for the eye, and there are certain things that are not allowed for the eye. And I am going to fast. If men can do that, they will save themselves from entering a city of sin. And you all know what I'm talking about. This is one mu'ahidah. Ya Allah, you gave me the eyes, I'm going to control these eyes. Yes, I will falter. I will make a mistake. But I will stand, I will recognize, and I will turn to you once again. But I'm not going to be mishandling this eye in a manner that is perpetual, that I let it go and I'm just looking at anything. No, I looked at something, I will turn to you straight away. Let's make a mu'ahidah right now, secretly. Allah is listening to you. Okay, Allah, aankh ko galat istamal maine nahi karna. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala is the rawi. The hadith is in Targhib wa Tarheeb, in which Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An-nazaratu sahmun masmum min sihami iblis. Man tarakaha min makhafati abdaltuhu imanan yajid halawatahu fi qalbi," aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. So I want you to depict this so you can understand the significance and the importance and the weight of this statement. Shaitan is a quiver. So he is a quiver. So in the quiver he has many, many arrows. So one arrow for Imam Uzair, bang. And with that arrow he strikes me. He has one arrow for brother Naeem. He has one arrow for this brother. So he has different arrows. He knows what's our weaknesses, because he's been working on us. So he pulls that arrow out, and then he strikes us. that there are two kinds of arrows in the world. One is an arrow that has not been dipped into poison. And there's an arrow that has been dipped into poison. So in the old days, when you really wanted to get rid of somebody, you used to dip the dagger into poison for many, many days. Then you used to pull it out and strike the person. Even if you used to miss the person, and it was a scratch, he did not survive, he used to die. Scratch, used to die. And there are many, many incidents like this in the life of the Sahaba. Scratch. Not even piercing through the body, just a scratch. The person used to die. So the Nabi of Allah is saying that this shaitan, he has a quiver, but there is a certain arrow in the quiver for the male gender. We're not talking about individuals, we're talking about two genders now, women and men. But for the male gender, he has one arrow that is dipped in poison. So what happens is, when you strike a person with the arrow, even if it brushes him, he's going to die, because the venom has made it in. So keep in mind what the Nabi of Allah is saying, why he said venom, why he said a poisonous arrow. So he pulls out this poisonous arrow, and that is the arrow where a person lets his eyes control him rather than he control his eyes. Meaning he breaks the fast of his eyes. Now it's very hard. We want to look at something. Basically no one will know about it. It won't damage my taqwa. It won't damage my image in the society, because no one knows what I'm looking at. See, because you need a very high level of taqwa to maintain the fasting of the eyes. No one is watching. No one knows. You can wear dark glasses, or you can be looking in a manner where people say, mashallah, he's looking at something else. So it doesn't damage the reputation. So Imam Uzair can be driving, looking at everyone. People say, what are you looking at? Allah ki kudrat, mashallah. I'm looking at Allah, mashallah. Doesn't damage my reputation. So if I need to control, jazakumullah. So if I need to control myself, I need high level of taqwa. Does it make sense? So he pulls out this arrow, dipped in poison, and 99% it hits the target. 99% it hits the target. Now there are some people, Allahu Akbar, in the outback, that train themselves to endure a certain level of poison. Have you heard that before? They do certain things that they can endure the impact of poison. They may endure 5 or 6 drops of poison, nothing happens to them. They've been in that practice. Their body gets used to it. Alright? So basically it is poison, but when a person keeps looking, he doesn't feel anything. When a person stops looking and he makes a fast with the eyes, if he looks mistakenly or even deliberately for a split second, he feels the poison. Because, ooh, I shouldn't have looked. When this feeling evaporates, I shouldn't look, basically the poison has made it through and he has become habitual to that poison. Indeed, inside it is eating him up, but he's not realizing. Does it make sense? I'm going to have to conclude on that. We run out of time. I thought that we could finish the topic, but inshallah we will conclude on this topic. So basically one thing that the men can do, we will give further information upon this next week. We will shed further light. But for the men, aankhon ki hifazat. For the ladies, we'll talk about it next week, but I don't want you to miss out. Control the tongue. Ladies control the tongue, men control their eyes. Can we do that, inshallah? Now keep in mind, we can't do it. We can't do it. But if Allah is on our side, we can. I can't do it. I personally can't do it. But if Allah is on my side, then I can do it. So we ask Allah for tawfiq. Don't say, I can do it. I'm the kuchni, we're weak. So we say, Ya Allah, we want to fast from the eye. You give us the tawfiq. Allah say, mango. Ask Allah in abundance, and Allah will give us the ability. Now can we do it? MashaAllah. Subhanakallahumma. Bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.